This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in 1936, you may remember, that Harriet Hilliard recorded the song, Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. So, who is this Harriet Hilliard, anyway? Is it A, she was the wife of televangelist Oral Roberts, and she sang on his TV show? Is it B, she played the wife in this series on TV, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet? Was it C, she was rock and roll singer Ricky Nelson's mama? Or was it D, all of the above are true statements about Harriet Hilliard? Or is it E, only B and C above, you know, the ones about Ozzie and Harriet and Ricky Nelson, are true? Get thee behind me, Satan, singer Harriet Hilliard. Who was she, anyway? And question number two, it was on this day, back in 1979, that a lawsuit was filed against the disco group known as the Village People. What was the reason? Was it A, an arrow shot by one of the band members almost hit the vice president? Was it B, it was essentially a copyright infringement lawsuit? Was it C, a construction labor union was offended by the band's costumes? Or was it D, the Young Men's Christian Association was offended by the band's tongue-in-cheek lyrics? So why was the disco group The Village People sued, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com. And today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January the 12th. Well, it was on this day, back in 1900, that the Puccini opera Tosca had its world premiere in Rome. The opera made its U.S. debut a year later. Puccini's opera Tosca's debut today in 1900. And it was 120 years ago today, 1904, that composer and pianist Richard Adensel was born. Adensel was known for such compositions as the Warsaw Concerto and film scores like Goodbye, Mr. Chips. Adensel's B-Day today, 1904.
All my deepest days, this had taught me golden ways.
Chrisette Michele with Naz performing Can't Forget About You introduces our soul, R&B, and rap music news. It's a review of Doja Cat's Scarlet CD. And the review is published in the 10-6-23 issue of The Week magazine. given 3 out of a possible 4 stars. Doja Cat clearly doesn't do fan service, said Craig Jenkins in NYMag.com. On her 4th album, the Grammy-winning rapper and singer slaps back at every devotee who questions her private behavior or expects nothing from her but more bubblegum pop in the vein of previous top 10 hits, Kiss Me More and Say So. Instead of playing pop princess, the 27-year-old channels negative comments into some of the finest rap performances ever. And while Doja's preoccupation with her stans eventually wears thin, Scarlett makes it clear that nobody should get cozy in any one manifestation of her art. She can really rap, and she goes hard on the tracks 97, FTG, and Ouchies, said Tom Berlin in Stereo Gum. Doja often varies her vocal delivery, playfully whispering before suddenly revving up into a PO'd growl. Scarlett never loses its sense of fun, though, and there's more to this brash hip-hop album than clapbacks. During its quieter midsection, the multi-textured production work moves into the stream and realm of astral neo-soul. Let's hope Doja continues to defy expectation. It's fun to hear someone with her level of skill cut loose like this.
Never on schedule, but always on time.
These streets hold my deepest days. This had taught me golden waves. Made me
truly, this is what made me
break me.
Nothing's gonna break me.
These streets hold my deepest days. This had taught me golden waves. Made me
truly, this is what made me
break me.
Nothing's gonna break me.
That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
A rap cover of Nat King Cole's Unforgettable. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Still There. Alzheimer's has ravaged his mother's memory, but music brings her back. This is written by Dustin Jones, published in NPR on the 21st of September, 2023. 18 years ago, Adam Kay was hosting a family barbecue at his home in Del Mar, California, when his mother, Martha Kay, broke the news. At 71 years old, she realized that she was becoming forgetful. While working in the kitchen, she would ask herself out loud, "What am I doing?" Martha, better known as Marty, started calling everyone darling because names had begun to slip her mind. Adam has suspected something was wrong, so when Marty told him she had Alzheimer's disease, the diagnosis didn't come as a surprise. But that didn't mean that it wasn't very difficult to hear, he says. Well aware that Alzheimer's is an irreversible disease, a one-way street, Adam didn't feel the need to bury himself in research. He had 2 young children to raise, and his father, Peter Kay, had already decided he would be the one to care for his wife of 50 years. But almost a decade passed, and Peter was diagnosed with bone cancer in 2014. He soon became unable to tend to Marty's needs, and the family decided to bring on professional caregivers. When Peter passed away in 2015, Adam and his older brothers had to sell their parents' house to help pay for their mother's care. Marty had always supported Adam in life's endeavors, buying him guitars, driving him to music lessons, and helping with school. As a lifelong musician, Adam had always enjoyed playing for his mother. Before the onset of Alzheimer's, Marty would sing along and the pair would perform as a duet for family and friends. So every Sunday for the past 8 years, Adam has packed his guitar and made the short drive to visit with his mother. Once there, he plays some of her favorite songs, tunes from the metaphorical pages of the Great American Songbook, like 20th century rock standards and folk and jazz tracks. When he plays for her, he sees a glimpse of the woman he has known his entire life. He has since posted more than 100 recordings of him and Marty performing together. That's why I really feel good about doing this. I know that Marty, with her forever benevolent heart, would want to do anything ever within her means to help people. At first, Marty would sing along with Adam, but as the disease inevitably progressed, the words to her favorite songs began to slip away. By 2018, her speech was limited to one-syllable words that made little sense. But when the lyrics were long gone, Marty began to whistle along as her 57-year-old son strummed the chords to the songs she'd always loved, like those of the Beatles, jazz legend John Lewis, and Elvis Presley. Somehow, she still knows the melodies to the songs she had listened to 70 years ago. Alzheimer's disease has crushed Marty's memory. At this stage, she cannot form a word, but somehow the pathway to musical melodies remains clear, Adam says, and it is along this pathway that she and I are able to communicate. When Marty was first diagnosed, Adam visited the Alzheimer's Association, the world's leading nonprofit that studies the disease, to look into what care options were available for his ailing mother. But he was unaware of the link between music and memory when he first started making his weekly visits to play for Marty 8 years ago. However, he noticed early on in his visits that when he played a song from her past, her eyes would light up and she would smile and try to sing along with him. Adam says some visiting professionals were also unaware of that connection and were shocked when they listened to the Marty and Adam show. I've seen some visiting caregivers who didn't know that we did this turn their heads in amazement in their eyes when she's doing this, like, what am I hearing? What? How is she doing this? Because these same caregivers know the severity of her condition and know that she can't do anything, Adams recalls. They were dumbfounded when they would hear her whistling along to a tune. The disease affects short-term memory in the beginning, leaving long-term memories intact for a period of time. That's why music from Marty's past has stuck with her for so long, Abraham said. If the person in the past knew certain tunes and they hear them again, so such long-term memory can still be there, she says. They can recognize the tune and enjoy it and even maybe smile, you know, give a sign that they are still there. According to a study from Northwestern University, many Alzheimer's patients can still recall melodies from their past because the cerebellum, where musical memories are processed, is affected later in the disease. This allows patients like Marty to recognize and enjoy the music they've always loved, even after they can no longer speak. A series of new treatment options in 2023 has shown promise for the millions of Americans with Alzheimer's. Family members have decided to make the most of their remaining time with Marty. In 2013, the whole family made a trip to Yosemite National Park, the beauty of which, Adam says, brought Marty to tears. And Adam continued to host family barbecues at his home in Del Mar every Sunday until his father passed away in 2015. As Marty's condition advanced, Adam's visited replaced the Sunday barbecues, but the time they spend together is still cherished. They performed together at a holiday party at the Del Mar Civic Center in December 2021, their first and last show together. Marty had some teeth removed 10 months ago, so her whistling isn't what it used to be. and Adam had shoulder surgery in late August, so he won't be able to strum a guitar for a while, but he still carves out time every Sunday to see his mom, the best part of his week.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
James Taylor's Carolina in My Mind introduces our local music news. It's titled Spotify Releases Annual Personalized Playlists for Users. This is written by Corey Dean and Kimberly C. Tutusky in News and Observer on the 3rd of December, 2023. It's Spotify Wrapped season. This music and podcast streaming service released its annual personalized look back for users into their listening habits and trends throughout the year. Here are the numbers of monthly listeners on Spotify for musical artists from North Carolina, listed here in alphabetical order. The Avett Brothers, the folk rock band from Concord, North Carolina, had 2.5 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Chatham Rabbits, the husband-wife bluegrass North Carolina team, at 11,000 listeners per month. Eric Church, the contemporary country artist from Granite Falls, North Carolina, 9 million monthly listeners on Spotify. J. Cole, the rapper from Fayetteville, North Carolina, with 44.5 million monthly listeners. James Taylor, the six-time Grammy winner from Chapel Hill, 6 million. Luke Combs, the country star from Charlotte Boone, North Carolina, 20.5 million. Mipso, the UNC Chapel Hill band, with 1 million monthly listeners. Nina Freelon, the multi-Grammy-nominated North Carolina native and jazz singer, 55,000. Rihanna Giddens, the Greensboro singer with North Carolina Chocotrops, 500,000. Reese Palmer, the Durham singer-songwriter recently featured in Rolling Stone magazine, 56,000 monthly listeners. Scotty McCreary, country singer and American Idol winner from Garner, North Carolina, 3 million. Steep Canyon Rangers, Grammy-winning bluegrass with Steve Martin. Asheville, 150,000. Sylvan Esso, multi-Grammy-nominated electric pop band from Durham, 1 million. And Watch House, formerly Mandolin Orange, from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, folk duo with 3 million monthly Spotify listeners. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in 1936, you may remember, that Harriet Hilliard recorded the song, Get Thee Behind Me, Satan. So, who is this Harriet Hilliard anyway? Is she A, she was the wife of televangelist Oral Roberts, and she sang on his TV show? Is it B, she played the wife in the TV series The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet? Was it C, she was rock and roll singer's actual mother of Ricky Nelson? Was it D, all of the above are two statements about Harriet Hilliard? Or was it E, only B and C above are true? That was the one about Ozzie and Harriet and Ricky Nelson. Correct answer. Answer C. Only B and C above. As noted in an article titled The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, 10 Things Most Folks Don't Know About the Nelsons by Jess Katcher, published in littlethings.com on February the 3rd, 2017. The series mirrored the Nelsons' real life so closely that viewers were constantly confused by what was fact or fiction when it came to the clean-cut family. However, there was definitely more going on behind the scenes that they didn't broadcast over the years. Number one, the Nelsons' house was their actual home. The exterior shots were taken outside of their real home in the Hollywood Hills above Hollywood Boulevard. Number two, Red Skelton getting drafted gave them the show. After divorcing his wife and losing the married man's deferment in 1944, the comedian Red Skelton, his absence from the radio show, led the way for his band leader, Ozzie Nelson, to take over that slot. Number three, at first Ozzie and Harriet felt their sons were too young to perform when the series began as a radio show back in 1944, so professional actors were hired until the siblings took over in 1949. Number four, Ricky's real name was Eric. This is especially confusing if you remember that the performer later shortened his name to Rick in an attempt to appear more mature. Number five, Ozzie himself was reluctant to allow Ricky to indulge in rock music on the show. He eventually agreed in an effort to boost their youth audience, which worked wonderfully. However, the parents of those younger viewers were less happy about it, as the genre was still seen as a bad influence. Number six, the show spanned an impressive 14 seasons, but they were forced to give up the longest-running title when The Simpsons completed their 15th season in 2004. Number seven, Ozzie wouldn't let his sons go to college. A documentary from 1998 painted the Nelson patriarch as a workaholic who thwarted his sons, preventing them from attending college and reminding them that they were obliged to work on television. Number eight, Ozzie made an unprecedented negotiation with ABC before signing his family up for the television series by demanding a 10-year contract that would be paid even if they were canceled before that time was up. Number nine, Ricky's popularity was what kept the show going. Though Ricky was conflicted by his squeaky clean teen idol image, it was exactly the reason the family remained on the air for so long. And number 10, no one knows if Ozzie's character even had a job. It became a joke that the only time Ozzie left the Nelson home was to go buy ice cream. And the answer to our second question, it was on this very day back in 1979 that a lawsuit was filed against the disco group known as the Village People. What was the reason? Was it A, an arrow shot by one of the band members almost hit the U.S. vice president? Was it B, it was essentially a copyright infringement lawsuit? Was it C, a construction labor union was offended by the band's costumes? Or was it D, the Young Men's Christian Association was offended by the band's lyrics? Correct answer. Answer B, it was essentially a copyright infringement. As noted in a 8/13/2023 article titled, How Did the Real YMCA React to the Disco Song About It? By Mark Mancini in MentalFloss.com. The year 1977, and French music producer Jacques Morali was writing songs for the third album by the Village People, a stereotyped, satirizing disco ensemble he formed in New York City. While walking down the street in the Chelsea neighborhood, Morali encountered something he'd never seen in Europe, the Young Men's Christian Association. He visited the YMCA's huge building in Manhattan's 23rd Street, which offered inexpensive rooms to young men visiting the city. Their idea was to give those impressionable lads a wholesome environment in the midst of the immoral metropolis. Jacques wrote YMCA in about 20 minutes, the melody, the chorus, the outline. Then he gave it to lead singer Victor Willis and said, "Fill in the rest." David Hodo, the band member known as the Construction Worker, recalled, "I was a bit skeptical about some of our hits, but the minute I heard YMCA, I knew we had something special." Morales' upbeat song spent 26 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, reaching number 2 in 1979. It was a gigantic hit with everyone except the YMCA. It wasn't because the Young Men's Christian Association took issue with the song's tongue-in-cheek lyrics. YMCA executives were more concerned with copyright infringement. Shortly after the single's release, the YMCA announced its trademark name had been used without permission and began pursuing an out-of-court settlement. What happened next is unclear, but the YMCA seemed to recognize the popularity and free publicity associated with that song, and both parties eventually made peace. We at the YMCA celebrate that song, media relations manager Leah Poe told Spin in 2008. It's a positive statement about the YMCA and what we offer to people all around the world. So let's close out today's program with Rick Nelson's Garden Party from 1972.
Went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
All the old songs, thought that's why they came. No one heard.